Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
All right, we're going to head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline and welcome back to our show. Our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we welcome back to the show, David Staples. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Great, Bob. How are you?
Good. Before we get to the Oilers, we were having an animated discussion. You know that the Quebec Major Junior League, which is majorly underwritten by the Quebec government, okay, they get a lot of help from the taxpayers in that league. You know where that money comes from. Anyways, they have banned fighting in the QMJHL. I'm of the belief that the players need an option to police themselves, and so it needs to stay in the game. I've watched university hockey for 40-plus years. I love the Alberta Golden Bears program. I'm not going to apologize for that. But it sucks when the Bears get up in games and teams start doing cheap stuff, and there's really no recourse if the officials can't protect the players. That's my take. What's your perspective?
Well, fighting is fading from hockey. That said, and I was listening to you and Mark Spector have this conversation, and I agreed with everything Mark said on it. I have to say, people love the fights. When there's a fight at a hockey game, the crowd erupts. It captivates the crowd like few other things in the game. So if you're selling hockey and trying to sell tickets to this, and you know people love this, you'd think you want to keep it. I have a certain amount of ambivalence myself, because I think what I'm noticing is that the players get more injured in fights now. I'm not sure why it is, but it seemed like in the past it wasn't as common. But there's been a number of Oilers in recent years, recent decade, who have been injured in fights. I think Surrey was, if I'm not mistaken. Ethan Morrow might have been. And it's starting to, it seems like they do a lot of damage to each other in these fights. They're bigger now. There's a lot of force. So, and we also know about concussions. So I'm glad that the role of enforcer and that kind of constant, you know, where the guy would fight 20, 25 times a year.
Right.
That's no longer the case. And we don't have that in hockey anymore. But fans like the fights. I like the fights. I mean, that fight that Mike Smith had with, was it Riddick?
No, it was Cam Talbot.
Wasn't it Mike Smith who got in the fight? It was Cam Talbot, was the Calgary goalie. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Smith and Talbot. Yeah. It was
okay,
awesome.
That fight was one of the best moments of the season. So, you know, it made Mike Smith a folk hero in Edmonton. So you're going to take that away from hockey? I don't know, Bob, about, like, do the players need that to police the game? If the referees did a really strong job of protecting the superstars in the NHL like they do in the NBA, we wouldn't need fighting. I think what we really need in terms of rules is referees who protect the star players in the NHL. That's what I would rather see, rather than anything else to do with fighting. I think that's kind of immaterial. If those referees did their jobs, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
See, and I think, David, the game's fast. Connor's the fastest. I do think McDavid's got more calls in the last year and a half, or a year and three quarters, than he did, you know. Like, I used to complain about this more 3 or 4 years ago. I think McDavid draws a fair amount of calls now. Last night, Boko Amama buried Leon Draisaitl with a hit. No one saw it. Like, it was an interesting one, right? Just for me, because Amama can really chuck him. Ironically, he was the former Quebec Junior League tough guy. Now, he's not George LaRocque. I mean, George was a destroyer. George could put you down permanently. So, Brendan, were you able to pull it up, or what do you got?
Not that quickly.
Not that quickly? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll leave the Dave Staples end of the interview with it then. Let's switch focus, David. So I'm going to read you the stats. Since Christmas, the Oilers have accumulated the second most points in the NHL, 52. They have a 23-8-6 record, which is a 7.03 winning percentage, which is top five. They lead the league in goals and in power play percentage. Are the Edmonton Oilers a pretty good club? What do you think?
I think so. And we did a Cult of Hockey poll this week, Bob, how the Oilers are going to do in the playoffs. And more than 50% of Oilers fans now believe the Oilers are going to make the Stanley Cup Finals, with 28% in the poll, thinking they're going to win the Cup this year. And I voted with the 28% that the Oilers are going to win the Cup.
Why do you feel that way?
Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are not going to be denied. Now, I felt that this last year after they beat Calgary. I thought the Oilers were going to go all the way as well. And I didn't know enough about how that Colorado team had gelled and just what high-level MacKinnon especially had taken his game to. MacKinnon and Makar had taken their games. The Colorado team doesn't seem to be quite what it was last year. And the way that McDavid is playing this year, Bob, like whatever, you know, he went supernova in the playoffs. He's continued that all season long. And the level of determination we're seeing, there just seems to be a moment for players when they will not be denied. And I see that with Draisaitl and McDavid this year. And the supporting cast is there. Now that Holland, the reason that fans are so optimistic is in the wake of the Ekholm trade.
Yes.
How that's transformed the defensive unit. He was exactly the player that the Oilers needed. And Nick Bjugstad was another player. You need that checking line. You need a solid third line checking line. And I think, I'm not exactly sure who's going to be on it, but I think Holland addressed the two biggest needs, other than goaltending, which he couldn't really address at the trade deadline, in Bjugstad and Ekholm. So, you know, the Oilers have done well since then. This looks like a team that has all the elements that a Stanley Cup winner has, except for one. And the one question mark is goaltending. But if they can get at least average, maybe a bit above average goaltending, like Colorado got last year, they can win the Cup.
Well, the Avs no longer have Nazem Kadri nor Andrei Burakovsky up front. So those two guys played in their top six last season. They still have that defense, and they have Edmonton's number when it goes into OT. Between the regular season and playoffs, they've won five games that have gone to overtimes or shootouts in a row against the Oilers. Now, Edmonton's in there in the first week of April. Actually, might be early in the second week, because I think it might be around April the 10th. It's on a long road trip for the Oilers. It's going to tell us something. That game's going to be an interesting game, because a lot of people think it could be a rematch of the Western Conference final. We got to see. Like, Colorado clearly is not as good this year as they've been. I think the Oilers are probably a little bit better. That said, Mike Smith had a .915 save percentage last year, and Stuart Skinner's at .910, and Jack Campbell's obviously in the .880s. So there is a fair amount of confidence. Is Ekholm and Bouchard now the Oilers' number one pairing?
You know, I'm hesitant to say that because I think Nurse and CeCe still tend to get put out there against the toughest competition. It's more shared, but as long as Nurse and CeCe are being used as the shutdown guys consistently against the best players in the league, and I think that's still going on. That's what I'm noticing. It's more like they have they've got a solid top four, and they're kind of interchangeable. But Ekholm and Bouchard, what it speaks to, and some people aren't going to like to hear this, is how much they missed Duncan Keith, the arrival of Ekholm. When Keith got his game going in the second half of last season, it helped transform the Oilers and gave Bouchard all kinds of confidence. And we're finally seeing that same kind of Evan Bouchard again. Although, you know, he's got his detractors, people who don't like his style of play and will never like his style of play, but he is playing really strong hockey right now. And that veteran presence of Ekholm just makes such a difference, just like Keith did last year.
Absolutely. David Staples joining us from the Cult of Hockey. It's interesting with Bouchard because, you know, he has had lapses, and there was a turnover on the goal. And I think that the 2-1 goal. And by the way, that line was terrific for Arizona. Hayden at center with Schmaltz and Keller. They dominated the Oilers 5-on-5 because the Oilers the rest of the way completely owned that hockey game.
Yeah, that was a fantastic line. Clayton Keller has become he is a dangerous hockey player. He's right at his attacking peak right now. You know, I would just want to get back to the Avs, and you were saying about the Avs and the Oilers, Bob. I think it's going to come down to this year, just like it did last year. I think in the end, which team is healthiest? Which team has, you know, you can't beat the Avs. The Oilers can't beat the Avs if Draisaitl and Nurse are playing on one leg each. And so the Avs have had poor health this year. Edmonton's had better health than the Avs. So I think if the Oilers are healthy,
they haven't had Landeskog all season. So I mentioned that's an entire second line, right? Yeah. Kadri, Burakovsky, and Landeskog. That's three top six forwards they've not had.
Well, I don't know if he's back or not. So it depends if they're healthy. If the Avs are not healthy, yes, Edmonton will have an advantage over them. So, and we won't know this until the two teams meet, because there's a lot of terrain. You know, if the Oilers face LA, we all know what happened against LA last year. I mean, Mikey Anderson, a dirty play after the whistle, hauling Leon Draisaitl to the ice. And, you know, that's when you'd like to see an enforcer come in there and pound the snot out of that guy. But, you know, we'll see if it's going to be whoever has to play, if it's the Oilers who play LA, that is going to be a really tough physical series. And I don't look forward to that, because it could slow down the Oilers considerably, even if they get by the Kings.
What's the biggest surprise? When McDavid's at 60 goals and 138 points, that Draisaitl's reached 110 again, or that Nugent Hopkins is at 88 points right now with 10 games left in the season?
It's Nugent Hopkins. I mean, at the start of this year, my fear was, because we've seen this with other players like Nugent Hopkins, like Kyle Turris. Kyle Turris and Nugent Hopkins have had, you know, they had very similar careers through their 20s. And when Turris hit 30, his game fell off a cliff. And we've seen this before. So my fear was, are we going to see this with Nuge? Like, I had this nagging doubt in my mind. Instead, he's gone absolutely the other direction, playing with far more intensity. And, you know, his work in puck battles, he's far more ferocious. I just think he's made up his mind. He is not going to let these young guys come into the league beat him. Like, when he was a younger player, there was a certain amount of diffidence to his game. Like, I just think there was, like, battling some of the veterans, he was a little bit hesitant. But he is not going to let young guys come into this league and push him around. He's pushing them around. And then his offensive play, Bob, like, we have never seen him play with more confidence on the power play. And I don't know if he worked on his shot in the offseason, but suddenly his shot is much more of a weapon than it's ever been. So congratulations to that player for upping his intensity and, I think, his skill level.
David, great stuff. Thanks for joining us in Oilers Now. How do people follow you?
At the Cult of Hockey on Twitter.
There you go. All right. Thanks, that is Bob. David Sable's Cult of Hockey. Brendan, how are we doing? We good to go here? Yeah? What do you think?
Yeah.
Were you able to find it? I mean, nobody ever gets excited.
Scrum with fights breaking out all over the place. Mangiapane and Chiasson. Giordano has Gagne wrapped up. And Matthew Tkachuk and Ethan Bear are going to drop the gloves. Bear belts him with the right hand. Tkachuk counters with a straight right. Right hook, Ethan Bear. Left jab, Matthew Tkachuk. And now we're going to have a goalie fight. Bear throws the right hand. Here comes Cam Talbot and Mike Smith. They're going to go at center ice. Talbot Shore with the right hand. Smith, three clubbing right hands. Right hand Talbot. Big right-handed shot from Mike Smith. This is the battle of Alberta we've been waiting for three decades.
That is a call. Hey, he's got that horsepower in his voice. He could just keep getting. That was an awesome call. Nobody turned away. I was there in the sound. Nobody, oh, no, I don't want to see a goalie fight. Nobody did that. It was awesome. And it was a great night for the Oilers, because they kicked the living crap out of the Flames in that game, 8-2. The only time it got better was last year in the playoffs. Even when Smith gave up that goal from Rasmus Anderson that tied at 3-3 after Edmonton had a 3-0 lead and was looking around like, what the hell happened? And Nugent Hopkins came back and scored the game winner, made it 3-1. Even in game 5, I was thinking, oh, these guys can still come back. But you know what? It was the Oilers that came back from 2-0 and 3-1 down and ultimately won 5-4 in overtime. Even when we had the flurry of the four goals in about, I don't know what it was. It was crazy. It was a crazy game. What did Pete Blackburn call it? The cocaine circus of the NHL playoffs last year. The Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames. It was awesome. It's also great when the team you follow wins the series. 5-1, all-time head-to-head Oilers against the Flames. 150 in Edmonton. We'll wrap up with this day in Oilers history when we return. We got at least, well, it's a page and a half, so that's it's 50 texts per page. About 75 texts at the end of the show about Jack's call. People saying, gives me goosebumps. I even had guys in the business sending me personal texts. Love that call from Jack. Gets me going. All right. Yeah, it was a beauty. It was an awesome night, and he killed it on the call. Start your vehicle journey your new vehicle journey at Brent Ridge Ford, the dealer that doesn't forget about you after a purchase. If you value fair treatment and full transparency, call Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at 780-352-6048. Brent Ridge Ford is a 12-time President's Diamond Award Club winner for customer satisfaction. Brent Ridge Ford is your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. That's 12-time President's Diamond Club Award winners for customer satisfaction. Tell you, and you can tell them, Oilers Now sent you. As we go to this day in Oilers history, for New West Travel, you fly a private charter for a 5-day golf getaway, Pinehurst, North Carolina, in October. Details, newwesttravel.com. Beautiful time of the year down in North Carolina. What do you got, Brendan?
1983, Mark Messier became the third player in Edmonton Oilers history to score 100 points in a season. He picked up a goal in a 7-4 loss to the Jets in Winnipeg.
That year, Gadowski and Stauffer playing together on a line for Stu McGregor. We tried to do the European short side pass that Glenn Anderson and Mark Messi used to do, where you drop it back short side when you go back behind the goal, and the goaltender's thinking you're going to wrap the puck around, and instead it's an open net tap in. I think we executed it 3 times that season. We, however, lack the speed, talent, agility, coordination, toughness, character, and discipline to play in the NHL. Guy Gadowski is the current head coach of the Penn State. Stu McGregor went on to be the Oilers' head amateur scout. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports Night. What's he got shaking?
You'll hear from Kelly Rudy and head coach of the Grey Cup champion Toronto Argos, Ryan Dinwiddie.
Ryan Dinwiddie. Wow. Was he not a quarterback in the CFL one time for Winnipeg back in the day? I think he was.
Right. You betcha.
We got a loaded show for you tomorrow. Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers for Abe's Door Service. George LaRocque will join us on tomorrow's edition of Oilers Now. Kurt Hill, the GM of the Edmonton Oil Kings. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then Chelsea on Ched with Chelsea Bird from 3 to 6. Special thanks to all of you who participated in the interactive segment on the show via the text line and on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. Have a terrific Thursday, everybody. Back at you tomorrow at noon.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.